I'm excited about week two of our series, Winning the War in Your Mind. Amen. Winning the War in Your Mind. Father, I pray that you would bless your word today, bless our ears and our hearts and certainly our spirits today as we just prepare to receive. I know the enemy would love to distract us. The enemy would love to stress us out with the grocery list or the things to do list. He would love to worry us with whatever thing is out of our control right now. I pray today I can just focus in and this word can do an awesome work in my mind. There are strong people in this room. There are overcoming people in this room today. We've just got to win this war. And I thank you, Lord, for your help today, your guidance and your direction in our lives. I pray that today in your awesome, incredible name, Jesus. And everybody said amen one more time. Amen. I want to teach today, and of course last week we started a war, and you may feel like you got drafted into this war. Maybe it feels like you weren't prepared for the war, you weren't ready for the war, but you got drafted into this war because you didn't realize there was a war that was going on. Maybe you think, you know what, I wasn't quite ready for this. What is this war? If you were not here last week, if you are our guest today, you may be, wait a minute, what is this war that is going on? It is a battle that is in our minds. And if you want peace in your life, and all of us want peace in our lives, then this war is not optional. And guess what? Every single one of us are in this battle. All of us. Because as long as we're alive, as long as we're inhaling and exhaling, as long as we are living and functioning in this life, then the enemy is trying to keep us from being who God designed and destined for us to be. You say, not me, Pastor Darrell. I'm just living this easy life. The devil doesn't bother me, and I don't bother him, and everything is good. I just mow my grass on Tuesday every week and pick up the groceries on Friday morning and walk the dog occasionally, feed the goat. I mean, everything is just smooth sailing in my life. Well, I doubt it. You may have one week like that. You may have one season like that, but the enemy is always trying to trip us up. And so this book, Winning the War in Your Mind, it's a book by Pastor Craig Groeschel from Life.Church, and he's an author, best-selling author, and so much of the teaching today is coming right from this book. I've had several ask me, where to get the book. Maybe you've picked it up this week and have begun reading it, and maybe a couple of chapters in, and so much of this sounds familiar to you. But I want to recap a little bit of last week. Number one, because some were not here. And I would encourage you to go to YouTube and search the Church Covington, and when you get there, just go ahead and subscribe, and you'll find all of our recent and past messages archived there. You can watch the service last week, watch the message, and hear all of the teaching, and pause and take notes, or whatever you need to do. But that's one reason to recap. The second reason to recap is because hearing it once is not enough. This kind of teaching, I've heard from so many this week that, like, whoo, Pastor, all right, I felt like I was in school last week, and I understand it felt that way preparing and getting ready. And so sometimes when the word is in depth, when the word is speaking to us, and it's challenging our ways of thinking, when it's challenging the things that we've always done or the way that we have always lived. That's when the enemy is going to come in and try to do his best work. Remember the trail analogy last week, that if I was to walk a particular path through my grass every day for 100 days, that grass would begin to die. That grass would be beat down, and you would be able to see really from anywhere, any other place in the yard, you'd be able to see where that path has been walked for 100 days in a row. It's the same way with our minds. But if I leave that path alone, if I get off of that path for 100 days, then life comes back. The grass begins to grow again. And after 100 days, you can barely see that was at one time a well-worn path. So let me tell you why all of this matters. It matters because most of life's battles are won or lost in your mind. They're won or lost in your mind. The mind is powerful. It's incredible. I know you think you forget everything. I know you struggle to recall and remember, you know, why you came into the room. Just this week I was traveling, preaching, and I got out of the pastor's vehicle and after the service, and we were going back to the place where I was staying, and I was searching his vehicle high and low because I could not find my glasses. I had my backpack, I had my wallet, I had all my phone, I had everything, but I could not find my glasses. I'm literally moving the front seat backwards and forwards. I'm all in the back seat where I had not even sat. I was looking underneath the seats. I was picking up floor mats. I was looking in visors. I was opening up consoles. I mean, all in this man's personal business trying to find my glasses. And the entire time I was searching, they were right here. They were right here on my hand. I was searching everywhere and looking everywhere. I was putting this hand out, searching, looking, rummaging through a man's console, looking for my glasses that were right there the whole time. Is it just me? Am I the only one getting old? I see some others in the room that look like you're getting old. Surely you're struggling with this as well in your life. The mind, as much as we feel like we are feeble sometimes, and as much as we feel like we are struggling to remember the day today, they still say that we only use a fraction of the brain's capability. So all of the things that you remember, all of the knowledge that you have packed in, all of the things that you have piled in, and as hard as maybe you feel like you worked your brain last week, or whatever is on the to-do list this weekend, and whatever upcoming challenges you may have going on in your world, you're still only using a fraction of your mind. The mind is a powerful thing. But let me give you some good news today. The good news is that God's word is powerful too. It's incredible. It's awesome. And it's much more than just a good feeling. I promise you today, this service and this word that I'm teaching today is so much more than just inspiration for you. It's so much more than just, man, let me pat you on the back spiritually today. Let me just smile at your real big, today. No, this is about life transformation. This is about the Word of God doing more than just making us feel good, but actually allowing the Word to transform our lives. The Bible calls it renewing the mind. We want our minds to be renewed. Here's the big idea. Every week, this is really what we're aiming to understand, and this is really what we're the target that we want to hit. Our lives are always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. My life is moving in the direction of what I think about the most. This is what we tried to get you to pause and think through last week. What is it that I am thinking about the most? I told you last Sunday that both science and scripture agree. The scripture says in Proverbs 23 and 7 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If this is what you think, this is what will become true in your life. The life that we have is a reflection of the thoughts that we think. And then science, conversely, deals with these neural pathways. That's where the trail came, and walking that path for 100 days straight. Every thought creates a pathway. The more you think a thought, the easier it is to think that thought again. I mean, that's just the way to the garage. It's easiest to follow that one path. Why would I ever get off of that path? That's the best way, the most efficient way. The problem is that one thought is killing the green grass. That thought is creating something that is just not best. It's not right. So I need to get off of that. The more I think a thought, the easier it is to think the thought again. And soon that thought becomes our default. It becomes the stronghold that we talked about last week. And the strongholds have to come down. Hey, good going, worship team. Every stronghold, that's what the song said, Victor's Crown, that we were singing here a few moments ago. The strongholds have to come down. That is the war that we are in. Because with every thought, with every wrong thought, with every time I take that same trail, the walls get higher. They get thicker with every lie that we believe. Every time I believe a lie about myself, the wall gets higher. The stronghold gets stronger. Just look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm ready to fight. I'm in a war. I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to defeat this enemy. I'm ready to bring down this stronghold. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 today, verses 3, 4, and 5. Paul says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So his word working in us, it demolishes strongholds. I think we have the picture from last week of the stronghold. It was up at the highest point and place of any city. But you have to understand, Paul is teaching to the church at Corinth. He's saying we can demolish strongholds. They didn't have weaponry. They didn't have the bombs. They didn't have nukes. They didn't have anything powerful enough to take that out in a single day. Their sieges, their wars, their battles, they took months and they took years. Years, because they were fighting with primitive weaponry. They were fighting with smaller things. And so here is this military fortress. And what he's teaching us in the word is that the enemy has built things like this in our minds. And if all we're doing is throwing pebbles or slinging small rocks at it, we're never going to bring that down. So at some point, we have to use the tools that God has given us. We have to operate in the authority that God has given us in order to demolish strongholds. Because our enemy creates strongholds of deception in our mind so that we believe something that is untrue. We do it. I guarantee you, if I were to poll person by person in this room, whether you're our guest or longtime member, whether you sang on stage today or you're ushering our lobby, or whether you're preaching today's message, if I were to go one by one, every single person in this room has some deception, has some lie from the enemy that you are thinking and allowing yourself to believe. Because that's what the enemy does. Doesn't always lay obvious traps. Doesn't always set visible snares. Sometimes it is the subtle things that he creates and that our mind struggles with. Because when we believe those lies, when we believe the lies of the enemy, those lies carry us away from God's plan for our lives. I don't know about you today, but I don't want to be taken away from God's plan. I want to be in the middle of God's plan for my life. I don't want to live at a distance. I don't, socially distanced, 6 feet apart, all of that. I hear you. But I don't want to be distant from God's plan for my life. I want to be right in the middle of what God has for me and what God wants to do in my life. And Paul is saying, no matter how big or how strong or how powerful the stronghold seems, it is no match for the power of God. You believe that today? No matter how big the lie, it is no match for the power of God. So he really gives us 2 steps to demolish a stronghold. We take captive every thought. Take captive every thought. Because too many of those thoughts are lies. Lies like I'm not good enough. Lies like my past is too bad. Lies like I can't trust anyone. Lies like I'm not good with money, or every relationship ends in sadness. I can't get close to God. What is the lie that has become a stronghold in your mind? And then the second step is that we have to make those thoughts. Take captive every thought, and then we have to make those thoughts obedient to Christ. Let me define that a little bit, because what Paul is saying is that we need to make those thoughts obedient to the Word of God, obedient to what He has already said. Why is that important? That's important because there are too many feel-good slogans and clips and positive thinking gurus that have a form of godliness, but there is no power. This is important because we're not in the Word anymore. As a church, we're not in the Word. We're into what someone is telling us the Word says. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you are attentive. I'm glad you trust me to teach the Word of God to you today. But what I wonder is that if I got up today and started teaching something that is false, if I got up today and I used the same charisma, I used the same voice inflection, I used the same passion even to teach something that was false, would you recognize it? Would you know it? Would something rise up in you that says, wait a minute, that's not right. Wait a minute, whoa, I don't like that. Would we recognize it? The only way to do that is to make sure that you're in the Word. To make sure that you are learning and you are growing and you're not just trusting what someone else says. I'm not trying to create a culture where, question, I don't know if I agree with that. That's not not what's happening. I'll happily talk to anybody after this service and walk through any question that you may have. That's one of the beauties of small group, where we can kick things like this around and talk about some of these different subjects. But sometimes I hear things. I hear things. I hear the 60-second Instagram clip. I read just a quip, just a phrase of what someone says, and it has a ring of truth, but it is not the truth. And I personally believe that is one of the ways that the enemy is being successful in 2021. Because don't forget, Jesus said that the very elect, that means the brightest, the smartest among us, they are going to be deceived in the last days. The very elect. And you're saying, well, man, if it's the smartest among us, what chance do I have? Let me tell you the chance you have. You're hearing a word today that is challenging you to allow the word to renew your mind and to mature you and grow you. No, this preaching right here is not as fun. It's not as sexy. It's not as exciting as some other preaching. But I promise you, these vegetables, these greens that I'm teaching today, they will build your life. At least give me credit for mentioning vegetables. So that takes us where I need to be today. Caught up, because this process is called renewing our mind. Renewing. I want my mind to be renewed. What does this process look like? Do I just read one verse and voila, my mind is renewed? No. You know, nothing is that easy. You know, nothing happens that quickly. Nothing comes that fast. It is a steady diet of these things. It is a continual and a consistency that is building, because process is always more than one step. That's why I encourage you, do this every Sunday. Just come back every Sunday. Make this a part of your life. Don't just come every now and then. Don't wait until hell breaks loose in your life, a crisis comes into your life. Just come to church every week. Get involved in small group. Be a part of the life of this house. Get connected to your faith family, your family of choice, and see this process unfold in your life, because all of us are having our minds renewed. Romans 12 and 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't conform to the pattern of the world. We could spend a lot of time defining and talking about the pattern of the world. It's everything you don't like. It's everything you disagree with. It's everything that seems and is immoral to you. It's everything that is opposite the world. That is the pattern of this world. Because the world is actively trying to mold us into what it wants us to be, constantly shaping us. Our politicians are masters at it. Celebrities are so good at it. The voices that we hear on a daily basis, they're so good at it. Just constantly trying to mold us and to push us into a particular way of thinking. It is the cookie cutter pattern. You know, when you want the cookies to come out exactly the same, all of them having the same shape. Maybe at Christmas time you've got a Christmas tree cutter, or maybe you have a snowman, or maybe you just use an old-fashioned round. You just want your cookies to be perfect, and you get them in there and you make sure that they are shaped exactly the same, and they come out just looking perfect. And you know what happens? Most people, including believers, we just allow it to happen. That is what has become so concerning about the church in 2021 and all that we went through in 2020, all that happened to us, the church seemed to get weaker. The Christians seemed to just, line up and say, well, cookie cut me too. I'm going to think like everyone else thinks. I'm going to be as afraid as everyone else. I'm going to lose my mind just like everyone else is. And we just allow ourselves to get in there and to be shaped and molded by the culture of the world. But here's the problem with that. The problem is that the world is moving farther and farther away from God. So let me be a good pastor and ask you a question today. How far is too far for you? What distance is too great a distance for you? How much in the world can I be? How much thinking like they can I think? The world is moving farther and farther away. The easy thing to do would just let it happen. Just go with the flow. Go along to get along. No, that is the war. That's the war that we are in. The war that says it's all right to be this way. It's okay to live this way. It's okay to struggle with this or to struggle with that. Everyone's doing it. Everyone thinks this way. Don't be the oddball. Don't be the one that thinks completely different, countercultural from everyone else at work. I'm not saying you've got to be a jerk. I'm not saying you got to be a Karen. I'm not saying you got to be the one who's always sounding the alarm and getting on everyone's nerves. But you know what? You can quietly, in meekness and in humility, be strong in the spirit and say, you know what? I'm just not going down that road. Why? Because my eternity matters more than getting along with everybody on the job. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit in this room. My eternity matters more than to keep going farther and farther with the world away from God. My relationship with God means too much to me. My relationship with God is too valuable to me. I've got to stand my ground, drive a stake, and say, wait a minute, this is the life that God has called me to. And so he said, don't conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. Be transformed. Be a transformer. Transformation requires intentionality. Full disclosure, it's hard work to go from where you are and into what God says you are. It's hard work. It shouldn't be, but it is. Because we live in flesh. We live in a flesh house that wants to do anything but be disciplined. We live in a flesh house with a mind that wants to be anything but pure. You know good and well, it's like having your car out of alignment. You know you want to drive this direction, but if you just loosen your grip on the wheel at all, that car starts running you off a rail. And let me ask you something. Why do we leave our vehicles out of alignment for so long? You know as well as I do. Maybe you may be Mr. Goodwrench and you don't do this, but we'll wait until tires are completely destroyed before we'll go get this taken care of. We'll wait until it costs us a lot of money before we'll go get this issue resolved in our lives. And we never know. It drives us crazy that we're out of alignment because we're trying, what pothole did I hit? What road do I travel every day? What dog did I, no, I'm just kidding. What caused me to get out of it? We want to assess, and we want to investigate it. We want to try to figure out what it is, or at least I do. Where was it? So I can make sure not to travel that road again. Meanwhile, I'm just getting more and more and more out of alignment when I need to be transformed. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. We've always liked the movies, Transformers. I remember we were into them, you know, some years ago, and at some point we got Jude a Transformer, and normally, you know, dads love kids' toys, but this toy was so frustrating, these Transformers. I don't know if you ever had this in your house, but I could not make it transform. It was just impossible. I mean, this, it was so detailed, it was so intricate, but I would spend time with this, and I couldn't figure it out, and I would give it to Jude, and they just got left somewhere because we couldn't make that design work. We couldn't get it to go from the truck into, you know, we couldn't get it to do what it was that we wanted it to do. It was way too hard. Transformation sometimes seems as though it's hard, and we think, I can't become who it is that God wants me to become, so I just give up, because every time I feel strong on Sunday, I mean, then Monday rolls around and I'm right back to struggle. I'm right back to weakness. I'm right back to addiction. I'm right back to wanting, you know, my vehicle, my spiritual vehicle is out of alignment, and I'm going off into a ditch somewhere, and then I fight my way all through the week feeling guilty and feeling ashamed and struggling and just wishing I wasn't this way, and then here comes Sunday morning, and I go back to church, and I get filled up again, and I feel stronger, and I feel better, and I that guilt lifts off of me, and I feel good in the presence of God, and I think this is the week that I am going to be who God says that I can be. And then Monday comes and the struggle bus pulls up and we get on and we spend the next several days struggling. Am I teaching anybody today? So what brings transformation? It's the renewing of our mind. It's demolishing strongholds. We don't always see the value, or we get too lazy, too mentally, too spiritually, too emotionally lazy to see the process through. But that is the work of renewal. It's taking captive every thought and making those thoughts obedient to God's word. Think of it this way. Renewing your mind is retraining your mind. Renewing your mind is retraining your mind. We don't generally think of training our mind. Our body, yes. Our dog, yes. Our mind, what? How can I train my mind? Well, let's go a little further. Philippians 4 and 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Fix your thoughts. What does that look like? What does that look like? That's taking control of my mind and literally focusing on something specific. Like what? What do I focus on? He gave us examples. He said, whatever's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable, excellent, worthy of praise, fix your thoughts. And then he said, think about things. Think Fix your thoughts and think about things. Meditate. That's an odd word to me, because I really only began using that word in recent years, because I was always taught that it was wrong. Christians don't do that. Christians don't go to yoga. You know, Christians don't meditate. That's not appropriate for believers. There's this new age and one with the universe thinking. But I want to give you another side of that coin. I have the ability to meditate on God's word. I don't always have to be talking. I don't always have to be speaking. Sometimes I can just meditate on God's word. Here's what meditation means. It means to engage in mental exercise, to focus one's thoughts. Is that not what Paul said in Philippians? Fix your thoughts. Think about things. Psalm 119 and 15 says, I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Psalms 143 and 5 says, I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. So you've got Eastern versus Christian meditation. Eastern meditation says, empty your mind. Christian meditation says, fill your mind. Fix your mind. Don't empty your brain out. Don't empty your mind out so that you become susceptible and like a sponge ready to soak up everything that you're told, whatever truth, whatever lie, whatever deception. No, I want to fill my mind with God's word. I want to fill my mind with God's goodness. I want to fill my mind with God's promises. I want to fill my mind with strong things and good communication. It may be that you need to readjust some of the weekly conversations that you have with people. Maybe there's people that just bring you down. Maybe there's people that just, you know, I've got numbers in my phone. They're saved in my phone. If their name comes up, I'm sorry, I just don't have time to have that conversation, because I know it's not going to go anywhere good. It's not going to be healthy or wholesome. It's just not going to be good. So their number is saved, not so I can reach out to them, so I know when they come calling and I can run the other direction. Pastor Darrell, I don't know if that's loving. You know what? I got to love me too. I got to make sure that I'm fixing my thoughts and thinking about things, and that I'm training my mind to focus. I know it's a skill, and it's not something that's learned and understood overnight. Sometimes it is a process, and it is discipline, because our minds drift toward lies. We have to train them toward truth. If they drift toward lies, I have to train my thoughts toward truth. So last week's assignment was, one, identify the stronghold that is holding you back. You got to identify it. I don't know if you did that exercise. I don't know if you took time with that. I pray that you did. And if you didn't, then I would encourage you to do that before you start on the new assignment. But I promise you, this word, if you will follow through with it, it will help your life. It will build
and bless your life. So last week, identify the stronghold that is holding you back. What is that one thing? Pastor Darrell, I've got a list. Pick one. Pick the biggest. What is the one stronghold that is holding you back? And then two, identify the truth that demolishes that stronghold. What is the truth that combats that lie in my brain? And if you did that, if you know what that stronghold is and you know what that truth is, here's this week's assignment. I want you to write it. I want you to think it. Confess it until you believe it. See, Pastor Darrell, I feel silly doing that. Why? Does it feel silly to be defeated? Does it feel silly to be overwhelmed? Does it feel silly to be stressed out? Does it feel silly to constantly look at myself in the mirror and not like who I see? Does that feel, what? No, it's not silly to say, wait a minute. I'm not defeated. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. I'm not broke. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm not addicted. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free. I need to write it down. I need to think about it. I need to confess it every single day. Until my first thought is not defeat, broke, addicted. My first thought is, what's up? Man of victory. Good morning, woman of success. Write it. Think about it. Confess it until you believe it. Romans 10 and 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I dare say there are people here today that were here last week, people online today that were online last week, that you had a much better week last week because you heard truth. You heard something that did war with the lie in your mind. The opposite of the defeating thoughts in your mind. Remember, your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So what would happen if I take my thoughts back? If I take my mind back, what happens if we win the war in our minds? You don't have to stay locked in prison. You don't have to believe the lie of the enemy, because Jesus holds the key. He holds the key. His word has the combination to the lock of the stronghold in your mind. You and I, we don't have to believe the lie that God doesn't love us or that he can't forgive us. Listen to me, sir. Hear me, ma'am. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what mistake you've made. It doesn't matter what kind of pain or problem you've had in your life. God can forgive you. God can restore you. God can set you free. Does anybody believe that today? because I am victorious. I just need to create a new thought pattern. Let me think about it. Done. I want Jesus in my life. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People in this room that need to make a decision. People in this moment, people in this atmosphere need to say yes to Jesus. You've heard so many no's in your life. You've heard so many lies in your life. You've heard so much language of defeat and discouragement and fear, and today you need truth in your life, and that is that God loves you. God cares about you. He stands ready to forgive you and to set you free, to move you from a position of defeat to a position of victory, to demolish the strongholds in your mind, whatever that stronghold may be. It's in this room, across the board, covering the spectrum. God's word will bring it down, defeat it, and you and I can have victory. If you're in this room today and you would say, Pastor Darrell, I desperately need, and I understand that everybody could raise their hand on some level, but I'm talking to people today that you know there is a war in your mind. And what I'm teaching today is just, I mean, it's just reverberating so loud in your spirit today. I want you to lift your hand where you are. Just say, that's me. I see you. 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 All over this room, people. People that need God's strength, God's help. I want you to pray with me today. Say, Jesus, I'm in this war. Haven't always realized that it was a war. I had just accepted this is what would always be for me. But somehow, last Sunday, this Sunday, I'm starting to believe that you have more for me. Starting to believe you have greater for me. Starting to believe that you have better for me. Starting to believe that you have a plan for my life. Today, I accept that plan. Today, I receive that word of promise. Today, I want to walk in newness of life. Today, I want to stand in victory. I am not defeated. I am victorious. I am not sick. I am healed. I am not broke. I am blessed. It is not over. It is just beginning. I am your child. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me of every evil way. Set my mind free. Renew it beginning right now so that I can walk in freedom and purpose and direction. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet today and give the Lord praise. Give the Lord praise today. Come on, would you sing it one time, team?
Must come down.
Say,
every stronghold shall be broken. You ever.